This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In the year 2000, the BC government made a deal with American logging giant Weyerhaeuser Corporation. The provincial government gave the new owners of McMillan Bloedel the right to log in an area of Graham Island amounting to fully a quarter of Haida Gwaii. 2 years later, the BC Supreme Court struck that deal down. The court ruled the BC government had failed in its obligation to consult the Haida about logging on unceded traditional territory. After the ruling, the Haida and Weyerhaeuser agreed to a management agreement. Weyerhaeuser agreed to such things as reducing the volume of timber cut annually and protecting the habitat of endangered species. But now the Haida say that Weyerhaeuser have not lived up to the terms of the bargain. Last week, Haida from BC and Alaska went to Seattle to attend Weyerhaeuser's annual shareholders meeting to demand accountability from the company that is destroying their land. Tom Abel is a Haida activist from Alaska. He was part of the delegation in Seattle last week, and he joins us on the line from Juneau. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm pleased to be here.
What did you do at the shareholders meeting in Seattle last week?
Well, I arrived from Alaska to show our support for our brothers and sisters on Haida Gwaii. Brothers and sisters, literally, we are the same people. We are related to the people from there, so what affects them affects us. And what we did at the annual general meeting was we had 3 minutes, and we were the only people allowed to speak, which indicates to me that the Haida Nation is of some importance to Weyerhaeuser. I read a short portion of Weyerhaeuser's policy declaring that they have a commitment to successful relationships with Aboriginal peoples and that they support the timely and meaningful resolution of longstanding Aboriginal claims, and the portion where they say that these policies can be used for opportunities exist for Weyerhaeuser to work together constructively with Aboriginal peoples. And I suggested that the common goal that the Haida Nation and Weyerhaeuser have is the resolution of Haida claims, and that why don't we go there together? So that's what I said, in addition to saying that I came from Alaska to show my support.
What made you decide, Tom, to take this action, to go from Juneau to Seattle?
It's, in my opinion, it's a requirement as a citizen of the Haida Nation that I exercise my responsibility. In the democratic system, the citizens are supposed to be the most powerful of all. And I wanted to show to Weyerhaeuser that the people in Alaska, we didn't create the border that divides us. And the same issues basically face the Haida here as faces the Haida on Haida Gwaii. Too much timber harvest of traditional lands.
What actions by Weyerhaeuser kind of precipitated your response, made you want to go and talk to them about acting responsibly in terms of the logging that they were doing?
Well, I have great faith in our leadership, in our matriarchs and chiefs, and I keep track of, as best I can, with what is going on in my home country. And I believe, and I don't think that anyone can dispute the fact that the Haida Nation has taken every available legal step and tried to exercise every remedy available to them prior to doing what is happening now. And I believe that having done that, that it's incumbent upon us to support our leaders in these times of great need in the protection of our homelands.
Now, I understand.
Go ahead.
I understand that one of the things that the company was doing was that they upped the level of cutting, including ancient cedar trees, of which there are less than 10% left. What significance is that to the Haida?
Well, our people are very dependent upon the cedar tree. It's an intrinsic part of the culture. We're talking about houses. We're talking about canoes. We're talking about ornaments, paddles, firewood, clothing, baskets. You know, the whole range of the. It was like a tree of life. It's without the cedar, the Haida culture would be crippled, if not it would be totally incomplete without the cedar.
And if people here are trying to imagine these cedars and the age of the ancient cedar, could you convey to us what a cedar like that might look like?
A good healthy cedar tree of 300 to 500 years you're looking at a monstrously huge tree, maybe 300 feet high, 16 to 18, 20 feet at the butt. From these trees, our people used to select specific trees, and they were chosen to be canoe trees, 60 to 80 feet in length, holding 60 to 75 men.
Wow.
There's stories here in Alaska and Tlingit communities of 60-foot canoes from Haida coming to their communities.
So you came to talk about this to Weyerhaeuser at their shareholder meeting. What kind of response did you get from the company at that meeting when you were there?
We didn't really get a response, and I think that the response we got to what's happening is that we were the only people allowed to speak. Their shareholders were not allowed to speak or ask questions, but the Haida were allowed to speak. And when the annual meeting was gaveled to a close, Terry Lynn William Davidson, who was there with me, her and I went to introduce ourselves to the senior staff that were available, and the public relations director very courteously introduced us to Mr. Sandy McDade, and we spent a few minutes chatting with him and just introducing ourselves.
In your opinion, what would Weyerhaeuser have to do to operate in a sustainable way?
Well, from what I understood it in the brief conversations that I had, and not knowing all the details of you know, what's been cut, what's there. I don't know cut levels, I don't know what was there, and I don't know what a sustainable harvest level is on that particular island, but from what I understand is that the Haida Nation and Weyerhaeuser had an agreement, and having read what policies are available to me, it appears to me that if Weyerhaeuser followed their own policies and agreements, that the Haida Nation would probably be much happier. I cannot say or speak on behalf of the Council of the Haida Nation.
As a Haida who's living in Alaska, why was it important for you to take a stand on logging in BC? I know you said that for you those borders are artificial.
Well, I'm happy and proud to say that I was there when the Constitution of the Haida Nation was debated into whether or not the people in what is called Alaska should be part of the nation. And I will take my fair share of the credit for that happening, as we are in the Constitution. The Haida Nation is one nation. The Haida people are one. The Haida Nation includes our traditional lands and waters in Alaska. And these are some of the things I said in Seattle. When we see Squash, Guanawai, Sigaija, island spirit rising, my spirit rises with my people over there.
Have you in Alaska shared the same experience with logging as a Haida over on the Canadian side?
Yes, and when you look at maps that show the cut areas on the coast, including Haida Gwaii and southern southeast Alaska, Prince of Wales Island, the place where I come from, is very, very similarly logged as Graham Island, as it's called. Huge, huge clear cuts. We used to have the biggest logging camp in the world on our island. So, yes, we're very familiar with trees going off the islands and clear cuts left.
Tom, what kind of impact do you think that your attendance, like going down to Seattle to that meeting, had? Do you think that it has an effect?
Oh, I think so. I think like I said. Previously, the fact that we were allowed on the agenda to speak when no one else, including no shareholders, were allowed to speak And some of the shareholders got pretty raucous and rowdy, and the press kind of implied that we were with that group, but we were there representing the interests of the Haida Nation, and I was representing my interest as a citizen of the Haida Nation. The people that were raucous and rowdy were representing shareholders who were interested in the company making profits for their shares. So it was an interesting meeting. Very interesting. And I think that the fact that we did get some pretty good press in the Seattle area. The New York Times had an article about Weyerhaeuser's treatment of shareholders. It didn't mention the Haida. But they were quite upset that they weren't allowed to have an open microphone and speak.
Well, I really appreciate your talking with me this morning.
Well, I would like to applaud my matriarchs and chiefs. I'd like to thank my grandmothers and grandfathers. And I'd also like to share the grief and sadness at the passing of our Nani Ethel Jones.
Right. Thanks, Tom. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Tom Abel. He's a Haida activist from Juneau, Alaska.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.